Well, we've been in our series this past few weeks as we've prepared our hearts for Advent, and actually this has been a little bit different kind of a series than what we've done before. We're going to skip the video, guys, this morning. So, I don't know how it is with you, but as we get closer and closer to Christmas, it just seems that everything gets, I don't know, more and more chaotic, doesn't it? It's like, you know, it's at this point you're thinking like this. We had our board, church board over to the house this week for a Christmas party, and we, you know, I was thinking this week, I don't know, we went to the district party, we went to this party, and that, I'm ready for the parties to be over even. I don't know how much more summer sausage I can eat, and so, but it's a great thing to celebrate, but somewhere along the way, we get into the grind, right? Like, if you are trying to buy presents, it's getting to be crunch time, which means that most of the men in here, most men, we buy late. I have, and so I need to get on it because we've still got some presents that we have to buy, and so it's really easy in the midst of all that to have your joy stolen. I mean, it's real easy for the chaos of the times just to, and you know what happens? Life goes on in the middle of all this, doesn't it? And that means that storms can hit us. We've been talking these last few weeks about God with us, and we've been, you know, starting with the verse in Matthew 1:23, which is a quote from Isaiah, and it's where Matthew's trying to describe how an angel came to Joseph to tell him that he shouldn't put away Mary, but that he should, you know, support the baby coming, and then it tells them that, you know, this is from God, and then it says this: look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so we've been talking about how God is with us through the different stages, in many different stages of our life. Because the way in which we understand and sense God being with us often has to do with our circumstances around us. So like we talked about how he is always with us in the valleys. We always enjoy God on the mountaintop. Next slide. We always enjoy God on the mountaintop, right? But we get to know him intimately when we're in the valleys. That's where we really get close to God. And we talked last week about how he's with us in the wilderness. Our deepest needs become a gift when they drive us to depend on God. That's hard sometimes, but it's so true that your need can either drive you closer to God or further away from God. And we choose which path to take. This morning, I want to talk to you about God's presence in the storms, and I found it humorous this morning. I was really struggling with canceling service because of a storm when I'm preaching on God being with us in the storm. And so, but you know what? It's the same thing as these other things. Great when everything's calm, we're all good, right? But where is God in the midst of our storms? You know, we ask the question just like we do in the valley and just like we do in the wilderness. When we get into the middle of a storm and things are difficult and really hard, we often ask, where is God in the middle of that storm? You know, we've had a lot of storms even hit our country this year. It's kind of weird. It's kind of weird that we name killer storms after people. Have you noticed that? This started in, you know, this year we had like Hurricane Barry hit Louisiana, you know, in July, and then Dorian became a Category 5 hurricane and just did havoc on the Bahamas. They didn't used to name storms after people. They used to name them by a geographical, like that might have been, you know, Dorian might have been the Bahamas storm or something. But they started in 1954, the U.S. meteorologists started naming storms after their wives or their girlfriends. Right? Not very smart. Can you imagine that I come home, I'm a meteorologist, and I come home and I say, hey, Lou, I say, there's this huge storm brewing out here. It's a Category 5 hurricane. It's gonna decimate the you know, a town, and it's going to kill people. And, you know, it made me think of you. And so I named it Hurricane Lou. You know, that would not go over very well. I think eventually Eventually, they got some females who became meteorologists, I think. And so in 1939, they started to name them after men as well, which was probably only fair, right? You ever tempted, though, to name your storms after people? I mean, man, we had a Category 5 last night with one of my kids. Hurricane Michael made landfall. Man, I got hit by a tropical storm this week. Tropical Storm Ted blew through our dinner table the other night, and it was terrible. I had a cyclone today at the office, Cyclone Sally. She decimated me and everybody else in our work group. What if you gave names to the storms in your life? What if you gave a name to the storm you're in right now? Because ultimately, some of us are in a storm right now that we're probably tempted to name. I wish I could get through storm divorce. I wish I could get through storm depression. I wish I could get through this financial storm that I'm in. I wish I could get through this relational storm that I'm in. Sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of real pain, and we just want the storm to go away. We just want the clouds to part, and we just want everything to settle down and there be peace again, for us to have joy again. What do you do when you're in the middle of the storm, and where is God in the storm? Unfortunately, for a lot of us in our lives, we can say that either we are coming into a storm, we can see it coming, we see the clouds brewing. Some of us are in a storm, or some of us are coming out of a storm. But for most of us, we all deal with storms in life. And what do you do when you're in the middle of the storm? Here's something I want to talk about today. Never allow the presence of a storm to cause you to doubt the presence of God. Never allow the presence of a storm to cause you to doubt the presence of God. In Acts 27, the Apostle Paul is he's a prisoner, and he is appealed to Rome because he was a Roman citizen. And so he's going to Rome. They're transporting him as a prisoner up to Rome to have an audience with Caesar. Paul is using this in part as a way to, everywhere that he goes and in every place that he's accused, he shares about Jesus. So he is hoping to go before Caesar and be able to share Jesus with him. So they put him on a boat that's headed to Rome, and this massive, incredible storm comes up. And this storm went on for several days. This wasn't just one that you just passed through quickly, but this storm lasted for several days, Acts tells us. And the crew was so terrified that they started throwing cargo overboard because they believed that there was no way the boat was going to survive. They thought, we're going down in this. Matter of fact, in Acts 27, verse 20, it says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. I wonder how many of us have ever been in a storm like that, where it just kept going on and on, and we're like, man, I wish this thing would stop. I wish this thing would be over. When's this going to end? And then finally, somewhere along the way, we give up hope of being saved. I talk to people all the time who've given up. Talk to people all the time, or people who want to give up. Or people who say, I don't know how much more I can take. There's no way my marriage is going to make it. There's no way my kid's going to make it. There's no way I'm going to get out of this debt. There's no way I'm going to deal with this disease that has a hold of me. I'm going to be alone my whole life. I'm never going to be able to conceive and have a baby. I'm going through this storm, and I have given up all hope of being saved. You ever been there? Know of somebody who has? The storm was raging, and they gave up hope. And it says in verse 21 that after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete, and then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. Don't you hate somebody who stands up in the middle of a crisis and goes, told you so? But that's kind of what he did there. Paul says, we're in a storm. And you know what he's saying, basically? He's saying, like, hey, guys, I told you so. I told you so. It's your fault. This isn't on me. This is on you. You ever notice how often in our lives we try to place the fault somewhere with somebody? Sometimes we make decisions We make decisions and they're our own dumb fault. But you know what we do a lot of times? We say, oh, the devil did that. I mean, it really is. Go back to Flip Wilson. I'm sorry, you people that are under 40. But you go back to Flip Wilson and it's the devil made me do it. And we like to lay fault off of there. We struggle to take accountability for our own willful, selfish, dumb decisions sometimes. And sometimes you're in the middle of a storm because, duh, you spent too much money on the credit card. Or because your emotions got the best of you and you said something you wished you hadn't have said. Sometimes you're in the middle of a storm because you procrastinated and put it off. It's like, I know finals, probably semester finals are coming up if they haven't. And you know, we like go, man, I didn't study, but I prayed and asked God to give me all the answers and it didn't go very well. I don't understand that. Well, procrastination can get you in a storm. I don't know, maybe you married that guy that everybody told you not to date. Your mama told you, your daddy told you, your pastor told you, your best friend told you not to date him. Your fortune cookie you had that week of the wedding told you not to do it. But you just kept saying, but he has so much potential, Mom. Yeah, and it's got potential to ruin your life, but you dated him anyway. Sometimes you're in the middle of a storm because it's our fault. And you know what happens when we feel like sometimes things are our fault? We give up hope. Because it's, I don't know about you, but it's easier for me. If God gets me into a storm, then I feel like God can get me out of the storm. But for a lot of us, we realize that when we got ourselves into the storm, we all of a sudden don't really believe that God will get us out of it. I mean, like, why would he do that? Why would God help me when I did these dumb decisions and I made these wrong choices? And we feel like we're kind of all alone and by ourselves. And that's what Paul's saying. Paul said, hey, we shouldn't go, but the captain said we're going, so they ended up in the middle of the storm. But here's the thing, not all of them made that decision. There were some people on the boat that it wasn't their fault. Captain made the decision. And so, if you can imagine, they got a big crew, and it's like Paul said they shouldn't go. The captain says we're going, so they went. How many of you ever been in the middle of a storm and it wasn't your fault? Somebody else's bad decision. Quit pointing at me, honey. Somebody else's bad decision. Somebody else did something stupid, and now you're having to pay for it. One of the reasons that Christmas can be stressful for us is that we see so many families that are divorced. And so, you know, there's a movie a few years ago they did about four Christmases, because a lot of people have to do four Christmases because, you know, and if you're a child and your parents divorce, you're living through something that's not your fault. It wasn't based on your decision. Your company made all sorts of bad decisions, and so now they're laying people off and they're having to downsize, and that storm really isn't your fault. Or you trusted somebody, right? You depended on somebody, you took them at their word, and they didn't deliver, and now you're in a storm because of it, and it wasn't your fault. Whether it's your fault or whether it's their fault, whatever the case may be, in the middle of the storm, it's sometimes so easy for us to give up, easy for us to think that we are alone. Thankfully, Paul doesn't stop with this I told you so comment. He's verse 22, he goes on, and he said, but now... Okay, you didn't listen to me. We're in this storm. Everything's in peril. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost until the ship, only the ship, will be destroyed. And somebody needs to hear this morning. You need to keep up your courage and you need to keep up your faith, because the storm is not going to take you down. The storm is not going to take you down. How do you know that? Because Paul kept talking. Verse 23, last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. They're in the middle of this storm, and an angel comes to Paul and stands beside him. I mean, that's cool. I believe that with all my heart that there is so much more going on than what we physically see. that the Bible talks about, there are battles going on in places that we can't see, in a spiritual world. And it goes beyond our ability to see it. There's a spiritual battle going on all the time. And in the middle of a storm, the presence of God is with you. Not just with you, but I love what he said. He stood beside me. Listen. This morning, I say this to you whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, because I believe the prevenient grace of God goes before us. So I believe God's working all around us. He's working in all kinds of places in the world today. That's why our mission statement is to go into the world, to bring the kingdom to light, to make people aware that we got to go join. We don't have to come up with something new. We need to go join in God in what he's already doing out in the world. He's already working in your coworkers' lives. He's already working in your classmates' lives. He's already working in your neighbors' lives. He's already working in your unsaved children's life. God's not abandoned your kid this morning, whether a Christian or not, he's still working and moving all around him. Aren't you glad for that? So, applause throws me off. I'm not used to that. So, no, it's not for me, it's for him. Here's the thing. He's still working and he's still moving. And I love this idea that he's still standing beside me. And you know, for you and I as followers of Jesus, maybe sometimes it's an angel. Maybe I'm not going to get into angels this morning. Maybe sometimes it's an angel. Maybe it's some other form of his spirit. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, his spirit lives in you, right? And so when whatever storm you're going in this morning, he's not abandoning you. He still is inside you, working and moving. He goes before you. He's already into tomorrow. He already knows what's going on. He's not bound by time. He hears our prayers and he answers them. He's comforting us in our hurts. But all we got to do is we got to become aware of him. God, you're there. I know you're there. All we got to do is call out. He's directing us when we're lost, and we have no idea of all the different ways that God and his presence are working in the storm. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. He is there. Listen to what he told Timothy. Paul wrote this to Timothy. He said, at my first defense, Paul, he's talking about being again. I think at this point he was in Rome. He said, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Listen to me. Everyone deserted me. The whole church deserted me. Nobody wanted to come and be in court with me that day. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. God gave me strength, and some of you are in a storm, and you've got to realize that he has not left you, but he is by your side. You need to realize that he's saying to you, don't be afraid. I love it. David said in the Old Testament, he said, I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. Man, I wish I could just live that verse out all the time, that I would never be shaken, because I know no matter what, my God stands beside me. He's with me. I'm not alone. When you know that God is with you and it brings courage to your heart, you know what that does? It changes your posture, changes your attitude. It changes your heart. It builds your faith. I hope it would change your mood that you're in. I know I'm not alone, but God is with me. It can redirect your mindset. It's all about who's with you. Now, I've mentioned Clyde. I can't get away from this illustration. Clyde Barrett, he was the only kid in third grade who shaved. We're pretty sure Clyde got held back at least twice. But when I was in third grade, right, I had a kid that was picking on me on the playground and man, threatening me. And this kid said, tomorrow when we come out for recess, I'm going to beat you up. He was in a different class than mine, but we were all out on the playground together. And so I remember I told Clyde about it. Clyde was about this tall. I mean, imagine me as a third grader. Okay. And Clyde was way up there. And you know, I think for effect that day, he didn't shave that morning in third grade. And so I remember going to the playground the next day, and Clyde said, I'm going to be with you. And I remember Clyde standing there saying, told these guys as we went and found them. Okay, that's how confident I was. Clyde said, let's go find these guys. We went and found these guys. And these kids, and Clyde said, I hear you're going to beat up my friend Brian. He put his hand on my shoulder. It really hurt because he's really strong too. And Clyde said, let me tell you, before you get to him, you're going to have to go through me. Anybody hurts my friend Brian, you might as well think it's me because I will. And he said some things that you shouldn't say in church or third grade. And to let them know. Do you know how I felt that day? I felt bold. I felt courageous. I felt strong, man. The threat was still there, but no one was going to hurt me as long as No Shave Clyde was standing beside me. Listen to me. It's the same way with your enemy. We sung about it, right? Our God's bigger. There's no rival. You know, there's nothing too big for him. And when he stands beside you and he puts his arm on your shoulder and he says, man, I got you in this storm. All of a sudden, you can have courage. You don't have to be afraid. He's with me and he's strengthening me. I know this. I know this because he's standing beside me. He's living in me. And it changes how you ride out your storm. You can lift your head up again. You know, real joy is not found in a storm-free life. If you live long enough, you understand that, right? Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have trouble. It doesn't mean that bad days won't happen. It doesn't mean that difficulties won't come. That's bad theology to think that you become a Christian and everything's a rose garden. Jesus said in John 16, in this world you will have trouble, but what? But what? Take heart. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. I got you. I'm right here beside you. I'm not going to let anything take you down. Real joy is not found in the absence of trouble, but it's in the presence of Jesus. He's with me, right beside me, and he will never leave me or forsake me. Paul goes on in verse 24 to say this. Because of that, because of who my God is and what my God says, you must. God said to me, God continues to say what the angel said. He said, you must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. In other words, Paul, you can't go down right now. I got to get you to Caesar, man. I got something for you to do. I've got something for you to accomplish. You can't go down in this battle because I'm not finished with you yet. There are more people to impact. There's more people. Listen, and let me tell you something this morning. If you're not dead, you're not done. Everybody nudge the person beside you. Make sure they're not dead. Somebody go get Wayne. Nobody's sitting beside him. But okay, good. He waved. If you're not dead, you're not done. God's still got things he wants to do through you. He's got more people for you to share love with. He's got more opportunities for you to share your faith. He's got more places for you to serve. He's got more ways to bless the world through you. The ship may go down, but it won't take you out. And your ship, I don't know what your ship may be that you're putting confidence in. It may go down, but God won't let you be taken down with it. In fact, God will use what you learn in the storms to help others when they're in the midst of theirs. He wants to use your storm. He didn't cause it. He didn't cause the storm, but the storm didn't surprise him either, and he's doing something in you. He's speaking in you. He's forming you and shaping you. He's deepening your roots, and one day, you'll meet somebody who's going through a storm just like you got out of. And you'll be able to encourage them. You'll be able to help them. You'll be able to say, you know what? In our marriage, we had unfaithfulness, but we survived it. And I know you can too, by God's grace and power. We overcame financial hardship. We climbed out of debt as well. I used to be in bondage to this, or I used to be in bondage to that, but I'm free today because I got through my storm. Because God is with you, you can make it too. I know it. I've seen it. Suddenly you become an evangelist for his presence in the world and in people's lives and circumstances. God's doing something. He's working in you, and he'll use you to help others. And the last thing Paul says here in verse 25, so keep your courage, men, for I have faith in the God that it will happen just as he told me. Keep your courage, because I believe God's going to do what he said he will do. My faith's not in my boat. My faith is not in my shipmates. Boats fail. shipmates fail, but I believe God will do what he says he will do. My faith is in the one who commands the winds and the waves. My faith is in the one who controls. God's got me, and I have faith in him that he's going to provide. And you know, the reality is that people fail. Organizations fail. I get really annoyed with people all the time who don't come to church because they feel like the church failed them. Yeah, because it's made up of people. That shouldn't affect your faith in God. We're not perfect. He is. We're not all knowing and all seeing and all doing. He is. Our faith needs to be in him. I love all of you. Now imagine you love the people you're sitting beside, but our faith is not in one another. Our faith is in Jesus. Our faith is in God, the maker of the winds and the waves. Here's the thing. You can't control when a storm blows up. You can't control how severe a storm is. You can't control how long a storm lasts. But you can control how you view it and how you talk about it and how you see it. You can control what you believe. You can control who you put your faith in. And you can control where your joy comes from. My joy doesn't come from my job. My joy is found in the Lord. My joy, as much as I love my family, my joy is not found in my family. My joy is found in the Lord. My faith, as much as I love people around me and have all the confidence of, my faith is in him. My faith is in God. What I believe is that God's still here, even though the enemy tries to tell me I'm all by myself. And even though he tries to tell me I'm all alone, I choose to believe God, that he says he will never leave me, he will never forsake me, he will never let go of me. There's a Psalm 46 this week as I was finishing up my message and going over it again, and then I bumped into this. There's a new translation called it's new to me. I learned last week about calling songs new when I'm the only one who hadn't heard it. This is the Passion Translation is a powerful thing, and I just want to read this to you. I put it on my Facebook this week. It encouraged me. It says, God, you're such a safe and powerful place to find refuge. You're a proven help in time of trouble, more than enough and always available whenever I need you. So we will never fear, even if every structure of support were to crumble away. We will not fear, even when the earth quakes and shakes, moving mountains and casting them into the sea. For the raging roar of stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode our faith in you. God, don't let it erode my faith in you. Surrender your anxiety. Be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. Amen. What a powerful word. So we could put it a different way. Even if I lose my job, even if my relationship falls apart, even if my family falls apart, even if the economy gets shaky, I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because he's with me. Because he's promised to always stand beside me, to never leave me, to never forsake me. Because he's got everything that I need. He's my safety. He's my strength. He's my comfort. Because he's my source and my redeemer. Because he's a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. I learned it in King James, and it still sticks with me. He's a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. He's a rock. He's my living bread, the bread of life, the living water. He's the one who satisfies, and he's the one who guides me, my comforter. He is my joy, and joy is not found in the absence of a storm. Joy is found in the presence of Jesus. It's found in the presence of God, and he is with me. My faith is not in what I see, but in who stands beside me. And that's why you never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. I've told you before, sometimes God has this bad habit of making me live these sermons out before I can preach them, and I'm just dying to preach that one on prosperity, but that just hasn't worked out. This week in our family, though, we had some of that come. Our 5-year-old granddaughter, still back in St. Louis, Olivia, she, a friend of hers, took a pencil in class this week and held it to her neck and told Olivia she was going to kill her. Little 5-year-old girl. My kids live in a very, it's just not the inner city of St. Louis. It's out in a very, out in the suburbs. And they took the little girl to the office and made her write an apology letter to Olivia. And then when she came back, she told Olivia that this was all her fault. And poor Olivia came home quite dejected the other day. What do you do about that? So my son and my daughter-in-law are trying to deal with that storm. My son-in-law in Kansas City that works at MNU, MNU's having a little financial crisis, and so they laid off 16 people, and he was one of them. So here at Christmas time, this week, while we're all preparing to get ready for Christmas, he's cleaning out his office, and they'll lose their health insurance through MNU with a 1-year-old, and Lou and I got stuff we're dealing with. And so this week, as I'm getting ready to do this sermon, I'm like going, I really, you didn't have to take me through some storms to drive this home. I know some of you are going through storms that are worse than mine. You've got, some of you are dealing with cancer, some of you are dealing with divorces in your family, and you're dealing with kids. That there's just all kinds of things that you're dealing with, and my stuff's not worse than yours. I'm not saying that. I just want you to know, none of us are immune to it. And it really doesn't matter the time of the year, does it? And yet in the middle of this, I got a text this morning from my daughter. And if I knew I could find it on here without losing everything else, I would find it for you. But she texted me just before I came up for service. And they've got somebody in their church who does snow removal in Kansas City. So Michael John's going to drive for them this afternoon, tomorrow, and probably Tuesday, and make a great amount of money. And so I know you may be like saying, like, oh, I hate this snow, but at the moment I'm kind of loving it. And but I texted my daughter back, and I said, you know, and we told her this week and talked to them. We said, you know, the Lord's always taking care of us. In our family, the Lord has always taken care of us. And I have no doubt he's taking care of you. And so this morning I texted her. I said, you know what? Sometimes the way the Lord helps us and the way the Lord lets us know he's right there in the storm with us isn't in a big way. It's in the small ways. Sometimes it's just your daily bread, man. It's just, I got money now. It's like, I told her, I said, great, now you guys can buy me Christmas presents because he's making money today. But the reality is that we should never overlook the fact that in those storms, God may come to you in the quietest, right? We learned about that with Elijah, right, in the cave. He may not come in the big thunderous thing, but he may come to you in the small way. And he may just put his hand on your shoulder like he did Paul and say, I'm here. And I want to tell you, Paul, the boat may be lost, but you're not going down because I'm not through with you yet. I have more for you to do. I have more for your family to do. And I am right here beside you so that don't let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God in your life. He is Emmanuel, God with us, even in the storm. We're going to close differently this morning. A little weird, but it's okay. It's everything's weird about today. Snow, and there's not as many of us. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray, and just I want to pray for you this morning. But what I want you to do is, I would like for all of us to find some folks to gather around to pray for one another. Now listen, if you're a little freaked out by that, if you're new or newer and don't know anybody, it's okay. There was some hand sanitizer out there. I hope you, anyway. But You don't even have to hold hands. You could stand close to one another. You could put your hands on one another's shoulders. Here's the thing. I want you to know this morning, you're not alone. God's with you. And so I want to pray for us, but I want to pray for you as you're together in groups. So will everybody stand this morning? And I just want you to find some people, two or three. The goal is I don't want anybody in this room to be by themselves. Find somebody. Find some people. Let's bow our heads and pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, it's not a one of us in this room this morning doesn't know what a storm feels like. Not a one of us this morning who hasn't been there. Not a one of us, there's some of us this morning who are right now in the thick of it. When we hear what the Bible says about Paul's storm, where there were days where they didn't see the sun and the moon. Some of us have been in that, we're in there right now. Some of us feel like there are clouds that are brewing and we're dreading the storm that's about to come because we see it on the horizon. But God, this morning your word has reminded us that we are not alone even in the storm. That when the clouds and the rain and the thunder and the waves may make it difficult for us to see you, we may not be able to look and see your face and we wonder where you are. The reality is that right there in the midst of that storm, you are there. You are God with us. You are God beside us. And you put your hand on our shoulder like Clyde did for me a long time ago. And even though the danger is still real and even though the storm is still raging, you let us know this isn't going to defeat us. This isn't going to beat us because we have you on our side. If God be for us, who can be against us? This morning, we can go through the storm because you give us courage and you give us power and you give us strength. Father, your presence provides for us this morning because you are with us. Jesus was born into a manger to remind us that we are not alone today, but that our God lives in us. And for those of us who follow you this morning, your spirit lives inside of us. But for all of us today, your spirit is working all around us in ways that we can't even begin to see or know. So God, today, will you help us take our eye off the storm and put it on you? Will you help us this morning, Father, to not listen to the lies of the enemy to try to tell us that we are isolated and alone, but that God, today, you have us. It doesn't really matter whose fault it is today, whether it was mine or it was theirs, but God, today, we put our trust and our hope in you that you will bring us through the storm safely, that you will move and work in our hearts and in our lives today because you are with us. Will you pray for the people in your circle right now? Would you just lift them up to the Lord right now, the people around you? God, I pray for my friends that you've joined these people that I'm on this journey with this morning. God, thank you. Will you bless them? I don't know what storm they're facing this morning, but God, would you bless them? Would you meet their need? Would you let them know you're there beside them? Would you let them know you're there beside them through me today? God, will you give them courage? Give strength. Give patience. Do your work in us, Lord, because we give ourselves to you this morning. You are Lord of all, and you're even Lord of the storm. God, we repent of doubting you, and we pray this morning, help us to remember as we go out this week that God, even though we may be in the storm, we should never doubt that your presence is with us and that everything we face this week, we face with you. With your arms securely around us, knowing, Father, that we can do everything and anything in your power and in your strength. God, give us grace and mercy as we go into your world to declare that you are Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Real quick, before you're dismissed and you go, and I don't know if you're going out to eat, but you got to get your snowshoes on. I want you, before you leave your group,
I want you to see if there's anybody, just ask, is there anything I can be praying for you this week? And then go out and pray that thing, all right? Share with one another for just a minute and be dismissed. Have a great week. Be careful in the parking lot. You need help, give us a holler.